Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. Ooh, baby, it is a cold one up here in Northeast Ohio, but I hope that everyone is safe, comfortable, calm, and most importantly, cool. And speaking of cool, this be your boy, Eddie Cool, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. If you're watching, you see us in gallery view. You see me on one side and B-Live on the other. The other guy, Scotty D, he's doing this edumacational thing. Ain't he going to a radio station today, B-Live, to do some stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I believe you're gonna leave us. No, let me stop. ugly face crying. We support the money man's educational endeavors here at the Sports Bros Podcast. We are behind him 1,491,60,000,000%. That's a non-existent number, and that is incoherent rambling. And speaking of my other co-host, introducing the man down there in Fayetteville, North Carolina, at the Shared Studios. He is the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? Well, while Eddie Cool mentioned how cold it is in the Northeast region, the Midwest region of the country, it is a completely different story down here in the Southeast. Temperature-wise, and I'll actually discuss with you how hot it is in other situations. Let's put it that way. Ooh, there's some seats, there's some phone calls, some rants, the whole nine yards, and I guarantee you, I got a hot take of my own. Man, oh man, you just ain't ready for it. But go ahead and buckle up your seatbelts. And let's get it. Let's go.
Well, put on your good drawers and your good shoes because we're finna dive right into it. But first, you know how we do it. We're going to talk about some football. With that being said, let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top of the order. All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order. Well, be live. Here we are, week 8. This season is running. It's not flying by. It is running. So we have some teams that's playing some good football and some teams are slumping. And speaking of the team that are slumping, B-Live, do you think that we gave the 49ers too much credit too soon or are they just slumping? And, you know, what should we expect them and when should they break out of it?
Well, that's a tough question.
It is.
It's a good question, though, because I mean, on paper, you take top to bottom, the talent, the scheme, everything that the 49ers is about, they're absolutely one of the best teams in football. But here is the kicker every single time. How deep is your team? Are you able to recover after this player goes down, that player goes down? Because what tends to happen is that a lot of players look good as long as they have their supporting cast. But what we're starting to see is that there may be a couple cracks in the armor that is San Francisco. Brock Purdy may not be this world beater that we thought he was. And the thing about this is that I don't fault him at all. You're putting him in a situation where he was never meant to be this superstar quarterback. And I didn't put those lofty expectations on him. I wasn't the one that put him in the MVP talk, but they need to stop doing that.
Oh, they do. They need to quit it.
I mean, because I think here's something that tends to happen. Because it's a good story and it'll get clicks and likes and views, these sports analysts will just say the most outlandish things just to get a reaction from people. And knowing that it's not true, people that said that Brock Purdy was an MVP quarterback need to stop it. He's an NFL quarterback. I give him that. There's a reason why he was the absolute last pick in his draft. There's certain things that you just, there's skill, will, bring them together, mix them up, turn it up, flip it, whatever. At the end of the day, you can't really, in like his arm strength, get the ball down the field. There's all kinds of tangible stuff on that, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, Brock Purdy is going to be Brock Purdy. He's a game manager. That's all the 49ers have ever asked their quarterbacks to be, especially Kyle Shanahan's tenure. I mean, you're starting to see it now. You saw it on Monday night, Jimmy G with the with the Raiders. He looked god awful. Just you're asking these quarterbacks to do more than what they were equipped to do. And now San Francisco, especially now without the talents of Trent Williams on the line, without the talents of Deebo Samuel as elusive and great a wide receiver as he is, you take those weapons away, and then San Francisco gets down in the game, you're asking Brock Purdy to do more and more and more. And he might just not be capable of doing that. He's a game manager. I've always said that. He's made the least amount of mistakes. And San Fran, once again, they've been doing it for years. Quarterback play, don't get in each other's way, will get you to the NFC Championship. But that's about as far as they get every single time. This is the same story. I didn't put too much on them. I think very well if they're healthy, they'll be right back into the conversation, be in the playoffs and make it to the MC. I still believe that 100% if they're healthy. But that's with a bunch of teams in the league, if healthy. And at the end of the day, you start really looking into how deep is the team and how healthy is the team. So San Fran, maybe they'll write the ship, maybe they won't. I don't know, but they got to get healthy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They have to get healthy. It's that point of the year. We're at week 9. And if you can find me a person on all 32 teams that's 100% healthy, I might give you $5. I might stretch the bank. I might give you $5. As you said, no Trent Williams, a vital part of that offensive line. The ever-elusive Deebo Samuels, who can run the ball out of the backfield as well as be a real elusive receiver. And the defense, you get the cornerbacks, they got some weaknesses there. They have some weaknesses there. But it's the fact that the way to beat San Francisco is like, I don't want to say rely on injuries, but if they get injured, that kind of like, oh, okay, you might put some blood in the water for the Sharks to jump on. It's like, oh, okay, well, they don't have this one, this one, and this one. Okay, well, now we can take our game plan. And then you got CMC with his oblique issue, and it looked like, you know, he hasn't missed a beat because he scored another touchdown again. It's just the fact that health. If you look at the roster, the quarterback roster, is Brock Purdy, and the backup has the most experience as a starter, and that's Sam Darnold. And just as you said, between Jimmy G and Brock Purdy, like that San Francisco system is like, look, we just, like you said, game managers. Stay out the way. Don't turn the ball over. Do what you got to do. And the defense will take care of the rest. But it's going to get to a point to where, okay, these guys are one-dimensional. We can stop them on defense. If we stop them on offense, they can't pile no points. And then the opposing team, their offense, they can do what they need to do to win, either by a little bit or a lot, because Cincinnati beat them, what was it, 31-17. I'm looking at 31-17, and I'm looking at some stats right now. Joe Burrow had a good game, 28 for 32, 238 yards and 3 touchdowns. On the other side, Brock Purdy threw for more yards, but he had 2 interceptions and 1 touchdown, and he went 22 for 31. I never put that much high stock on Brock Purdy. I didn't. Never have, never will. And they were talking about, oh, he's elite. I'm like, look, just because a guy win a bunch of games. That doesn't make him elite. He got hot, he got hot at the right time. He won games that he needed to and never put his team in a position to lose games or blow leads. But now we start to see some chinks in the armor as far as San Francisco goes. Be live, Lord have mercy. The Carolina Panthers won their first game of the season.
what a relief it is. Let's briefly just, I mean, I don't think people understand the amount of pain that we've endured this year.
Too much.
I'm gonna save a little piece of the amount of pain that me and you have both gone through. Particularly, I'm gonna put a pin in that because I'm gonna discuss more pain later. But we needed this win badly,
extremely,
because if the Panthers would have lost to the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud, we'd have lost the fan base.
Yep.
We would have completely lost the fan base because we've been hearing it all year long. We should have picked C.J. Stroud. We should have picked C.J. Stroud. We should have picked C.J. Stroud.
And I said it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm the guy. I'm one of many that said it. One of many that said that.
I said Will Levis, and that dude went off.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you remember when I said Will Levis?
You said it.
I said Will Levis, and everybody laughed at me. Nobody was paying me no attention, and that dude came off the bench, and DeAndre Hopkins like, thank you, sir, for showing up. I've been here the entire time. Somebody's getting me the ball. But I digress.
And speaking of Will Levis, he's starting on Thursday night against the Steelers. Deservedly so.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick him up immediately. But man, yeah, I think I got to look at my waiver wire because I'm trying to pick him up in our league because my quarterback play has been sus and spent. So, I digress. I'm Will Levis, that dude. But yeah, because I think that game not only because I mean you've been hearing it all day. You heard it in the stands during the game where the fans were booing David Tepper while they were honoring Mushin Muhammad and Julius Peppers.
Yeah,
come on, fans. I get it. Oh, I get the frustration. But at least give Moose and Pep that moment. I understand booing Roger Goodell. Boo. But it's been painful. It's been painful. It's been painful. People have lost faith in David Tepper, the bonehead calls after decisions. I still don't believe in Frank Wright. He finally got it right by letting offense coordinator Thomas. What's his? I know it's Thomas.
I forgot the brother's name, but Thomas something. I'll look it up.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. But man, finally let him make the play calls. I mean, it wasn't a pretty game, but hey, we eked out a victory. We had to kick the ball three times just to get the extra, get the field goal.
Thomas Brown. I'm sorry, B. It's Thomas Brown. I'm trying to do some production stuff.
Yeah, I'm only like, right, working it. But Eddie Pinheiro shouldn't have been in that position to start with because he should have made the extra point early, but he missed that. I was like, well, daggone, we can't even get the point. It's going to be a day, and but we got one. And I think there's a few more victories. I said, did I say 8-9?
Yeah, you said 8-9,
I still believe it. It's a stretch now, but I still believe that. I mean, we have some winnable games ahead of us. And hey, 8-9 might win a division again. The Falcons lead the division right now, 4-4, and they ain't been world beating nobody. So, man, the NFL is just it's going to be interesting to them. Through health. You're seeing the teams that are staying the healthiest. The Ravens staying healthy, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Dolphins staying healthy, they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Until you get to Minnesota and the unfortunate Achilles injury to Kirk Cousins, which cost him his season. And I think BeLive, despite them not having Justin Jefferson, with Kirk Cousins and Jordan Addison having that connection, I think they were just starting to cook a little bit, just starting to heat up, just starting to nip on the Lions' heels, and then that happened. So it is unfortunate, real unfortunate.
And they now have to turn to Jaren Hall.
The hell is that?
Exactly. Fifth-round pick out of BYU. Good luck. You made it to the big time, and the team is on your shoulders. All right. Is Cam Newton out there somewhere stretching his arm, trying to get back into it? Because if there was a time, if there was ever a time.
Now, yeah.
I mean, I think Tyrod Taylor's out, but Daniel Jones is back healthy.
Okay.
Healthy-ish. But, yeah, it is – yeah, it's going, it's interesting. I say what it is, but
yeah, you're right. You're right. It's interesting. And then you have, can we say this, dear Las Vegas Raiders, free Davante Adams, signed Edwin Vereen, aka Eddie Cool, not a Raiders fan, but a fan of great players and great football. Why does this reminds me of the time when Randy Moss went to the Raiders and absolutely did. And now they get rid of his friend, Derek Carr, one of the main reasons he came over there. And, like, the frustration is there. You can't. Like, somebody's like, he should have stayed in Green Bay. Why and for what? I just think that if you're a team in need of a wide receiver, you got a little bit of money to spend and some capital to give up, you need to go get Devontae. Save this man. Do him a favor.
I was about to raise my hand, and then you said some capital to give up. I don't know. Put my hand back down.
Yeah. We only thing we got is a capital P, a letter, and that's it. We ain't got nothing.
We got no capital. But I would love to have the we need a wide receiver one for Bryce Young. He needs that. Adam Thielen is doing the best he can with it. He's a possession receiver. We need somebody to take the top off that. Oh, man.
Yeah, you're right. Take the lid off of it, man. And like I said, BeLive, we got week 9 coming up on us. It starts Thursday night. And what game or games are you looking forward to see?
Plural, because whew, there are a lot. And I'm not going to name them all because I know you got some games you want to see as well. But the first one that jumps off the sheet for me is Cincinnati versus Buffalo. That right there jumps off the sheet. That, like, the reason why that one jumps off the sheet is because these are two teams that seem to be headed in the right direction. This right here is going to set a team back, and it's going to catapult the other team. Whoever wins this game is going to be catapulted back to top-tier status because both of those teams are right there. And, of course, the obvious – there's two obvious games. I'm going to let you pick your team out, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to pick another game. Pick your game. You say one, and I'm going to say another. Looking forward to, because I don't want to take it away from you. Go ahead.
The Cowboys and the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. That was on my radar.
The Cowboys and the Eagles. And then I also want to see I don't want to say the Cardinals versus the Browns, because bring on the water. We know what's going to happen. Ravens, Seahawks. That's another one I want to see. Because like you said, the Ravens seem to be hitting that stride, and the Seahawks, whatever you do, you just cannot count this iteration of the Seattle Seahawks out. You cannot count them out, because remember last year we said, okay, they'll do good this year. Going into the next season, they're going to plummet, and they're making us look all kinds of wrong. Yeah.
So, I mean, 5-2 Seattle, 6-2 Baltimore. That's a big one. The reason why I'm over here jumping and hollering and screaming is because I thought I was going to miss the majority of these football games because I'm going to be on a flight on Sunday afternoon. But I'll actually be able to catch this game because I just have to get up at 6:30 in the morning. Because it's in Frankfurt, Germany.
How many games have they had overseas already?
They had a bunch. I think this is number 4.
It feels like number 10. I'm not going to lie to you.
But this is the game of games this week. And I didn't even notice it until I looked. I was like, wait a minute. 9:30, that's Easter time. I'm going to have to, I'm going to drink a little extra water because I got to get up at 6:30 in the morning because I'll be in Vegas. I'll be in Pacific Coast time. 6:30 in the morning, somewhere in a casino. Be live, we'll be having a drink of Jameson, watching the Miami Dolphins versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And can we get the explosive Kansas City Chiefs as opposed to what the heck we just saw this past week?
Oh, Lord have mercy. What in the... B-Dop, can I say it?
Yeah, please do.
God! What the... Ugh.
9 points? Patrick Mahomes against the Broncos? Broncos country, let's ride. Russell Wilson out-dueled Patrick. They didn't score a touchdown. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't score a touchdown. The last time they
I can't recall.
Can we please not get that version of Kansas City so this game can be as explosive as it can be? Tyreek Hill doing what he's doing against his former team. He said that Tua was the most accurate quarterback he's ever had. And we laughed at him. He might have been on to something because that boy wheeling and dealing. Oh, and I love having him on my fantasy team in one of my other leagues because that boy has been balling.
Speaking of fantasy teams, man, Scotty D killed me this week. Joe Burrow had 100 points.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Welcome back, Joe Cool.
Yeah, he back. He back, and then they're most definitely back, too.
So, yeah, I will be on a – you know what? If my flight is at noon, is that noon Pacific time, which means 3? Yeah, I'll be able to see part – I'll be watching some of the 1 o'clock games at the airport. Okay, all right. I get different time zones, whatnot. I figured out whatever.
You had to put it all together. Yeah, put it all together.
And for any of our listeners out there, if you want to throw me some money for my Vegas fund, it is my Cash App is $DAlmightyBLive THEALMIGHTY. BLIV2E. Yes, sir.
We'll be putting our Cash App tags in this here description, Bob, because we need to do things.
I'm betting all on black. I will be in Vegas. Maybe I'll go talk to Jimmy G and see if I can get his confidence up. Dap up Devontae Adams, man. Hey, we here for you. We're campaigning for you to be able to get out of Vegas.
Yeah.
Just come back on the flight with me. We'll slide through. I mean, I'm flying into Raleigh. I'll get you a ride to Charlotte, and we'll work this out. Okay, cool.
Yeah, go talk to somebody and make something happen because you got to get your hell out of Vegas. We got to get your hell out of it. Like we're like concerned friends. We're concerned about your well-being. We got concerns. We need to get you up out of there. All right, and we about to get up out of this segment. Coming up next, the world famous B-Live. Top 5, right after this on the Sports Bros Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, owners of cats, owners of Pikachus, owners of houses, owners of Chinese restaurants, pizza parlors, and owners of bad attitudes and good attitudes. This is the B-Live Top 5. 5-5-5.
Man, oh man. You know how I like to do things when it comes to college football. I have my own rankings. I don't care about the AP, the coaches. I know that the college football playoff rankings just came out recently. I don't even care about all that because I see things the way I like to see them. With that being said, I really don't see much really different than what these dudes are saying. We're recording before the college football playoff rankings come out. So I don't know where they're going to put Georgia, but there's been rumors that they're not putting Georgia at number one. So they're starting to listen to me because I don't have them at number one. But forget all that. Forget about the BeLive top five. I ain't even worried about the BeLive not top five teams that are overrated. I'm not even talking about that. My top five this week is going to be the top five football teams in the state of South Carolina.
Oh.
Coming in at number five, we've got Charleston Southern. Charleston Southern comes in at number five with a whopping 3-5 record. Charleston Southern coming in at number five. Number four coming in strong. You got your South Carolina State Bulldogs coming in number four with a whopping 3-5 record.
6-10, okay.
Coming in at number three, you've got my beloved, wonderful, bleed orange Clemson Tigers with an incredible record of
500.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, Clemson's number three in the state with a 4-4 record. Coming in at number two. Coastal Carolina University, CCU, with a 5-3 record. And coming in at number one, with a 7-1 record, is the Furman Paladins. This is a very, 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 very sad year for our major programs in the state of South Carolina. And that's what I was alluding to earlier when I said that me and Eddie Cool have been going through some pain. Because the one team that I did not mention in the top five, I did that on purpose, and also because their record reflects it, is the 2-6 South Carolina Gamecocks.
We're just bad. I'm not going to say sugarcoat nothing. We're just bad.
Both of us, this ain't a talk of fringe. I'm talking about South Carolina and Clemson are flat out horrible. But this is the real reason why I came. Fans of South Carolina are calling for Shane Beamer's head. And it's a situation amongst itself. And I don't want people to get fired. But this statement right here, it goes out to a young man named Tyler from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Who in the hell do you think you are? Tyler calls into a weekly radio show that Dabo Swinney was on and proceeds to berate our coach, talking about how he's getting paid $11 million for Clemson to be 4-4, proceeds to quote a Bible verse from Proverbs, basically alluding to the fact that Dabo Swinney is arrogant, and I think it has something to do of arrogance. He's a great fall, et cetera, et cetera. And it basically just like, who are you? I'm looking at my man's track record and all the things that he's done for our program. The insane amount of money that Clemson brings in as a national brand That is thanks to Dabo Swinney. He may not be the best actual coach, but I'll take them two national championships all day, a week, twice on Sunday. But the reason why I'm here is I want to echo the sentiments of my coach, because he basically said he has had it. He is sick of fair weather fans. Ooh. He is sick of bandwagon fans. He is absolutely sick of Tyler from Spartanburg. Like, oh, you got to hear this interview. And here's the thing. Eddie Cool, I think you could appreciate this interview, even though you don't like Clemson. Mm-hmm. There's some people that are haters out there that listen to this interview. They're like, oh, yes. Clemson's going to fall and everything's going to... Dude, I have never heard passion come out of a coach like this before on a person on his platform. He basically said, bro, who are you? It's people like you that give coaches nightmare. You're a keyboard warrior. You're calling from... You're not X's and O's. You can clearly tell that you've never played a game of football in your life, but yet you're entitled to something. Who are you?
Here we go, boys. That is that generation. Like Ricky Smiley said, we're in that generation now where it's about entitlement. And I'm going to say this, Beli, because this kind of hits close to home. And me and you we had a conversation on Sunday about this. You do good for so long. At a high rate for such a long time, the moment you have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, now you're being looked at under a microscope. Now you're being asked, what's wrong? What's this? What's that? You know what it's called, life. Dabo is probably going through something in life. This is a whole change in talent from what Dabo had, from what he first had to now. It's called a lull period. Everybody has a lull period. And you shouldn't get rid of somebody because they have a lull period. Give them a chance to redeem themselves and rebound themselves and show you what they can really do. Oh, I believe it's inside of you. Yes, it's inside, but you got to give the chance to display it. Don't put everything under a microscope and micromanage and watch and pick apart and compile stuff and find all this stuff. Give a man a chance, man. Give a man a chance. He's allowed to have one bad year.
He's allowed to have a few. I don't care what anybody says. But I get it. You don't want to go back to mediocrity. You don't want to do that. But we'd be hard pressed to find somebody. Come on, bro. And it was one of those things where hearing this dude on the phone, it was like this is like it was almost like he had his opportunity it was so tasteless. What he had to say, like he made it seem like Dabo hadn't done a single thing while he was at Clemson. He made it seem like the $11.5 million salary that Dabo didn't earn. That he didn't deserve to be paid as one of the top coaches in the country.
So pretty much, your boy was treating him like Will Muschamp. That's what you're saying.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting. Tyler, you should never don't pick up the phone ever again. Don't act like you know anything about this.
Be live. It's the classic case of you got these people, they always have something to say. But the thing about it is, have you ever went outside and thrown a football with your uncle? Have you ever sat down and watched some of the analytics on ESPN when they talk about formations, single high safety, press coverage, screen, bubble screen, fullback dive, fullback pull and trap. I've been out of the game for 20 years of football, Beli, but some of that stuff is still sticking with me. Defensive schemes. Why do you not play prevent defense? Because it prevents your ass from winning. It's just at the point now, everybody's effing critic. Everybody wants to analyze. Everybody wants to make that hot take. And in the words of, and to take a turn from professional wrestling, everybody's looking for their chance to get over.
And like I said, I'm going to end it at this right here. I'm critical of a lot of things, and I get on here and I talk a lot of trash. At the end of the day, I don't attack somebody's manhood or livelihood. And that's what this guy did. And he did it as a fan. He wasn't being an analyst. He wasn't being like people that get paid to do this. Even us as a podcasters, we have a certain level of things that we can say. We can have our opinions. Does it really make that much of a difference? No, not at all. But you were attacking this dude as a fan. What gives you the right? How dare you?
The audacity of it all, Belive.
That's something I just don't do. Like, I don't believe in Frank Wright as a coach for Carolina, but he is my coach.
Trust me, Belive. I get it. But with that being said, Belive, guess what time it is?
It's time for me to take a deep breath, but I'm good.
I'm glad you asked. It's time for our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. With that being said, hey, yo, button, hit it. Choices of the Voices coming at you right now, or coming up next, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. I can't talk today.
And now, our favorite part of the show, The Choices of the Voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful land. So lovely, Miss Button. I got you. For introducing our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. 225 episodes, be like, that's where we at now, 225?
That sounds about right there. That sounds about what we've been doing for all this time.
Now, for all this time, and you know how we do it. We ask you a question, you give us the answers, and we talk about it. Sometimes y'all kind of veer off the track, but it's okay. I try my best to Amtrak it as much as possible. Man, I ain't had an Amtrak nothing in a hot minute.
And we've been doing all right, but I will be quick to throw somebody in the penalty box. So
real quick. So thanks for everybody who's been participating in The Choices of the Voices. Okay, so the question this week is, in your opinion, who is the best young NFL coach? All right. The best young NFL coach. We didn't want to limit it to the four that was included on the picture. Like, who do you think overall is the best coach? So let's go ahead and hop right into it. All right. AD Series, he says the Dolphins coach, Mike McDaniel and D'Amico Ryans in Houston. Solid. Real solid choices. All right. We got a Hall of Famer, Uncle Max. He says there are some good choices. I like the job D'Amico Ryans is doing in his first year with the Texans. So that's two for D'Amico. All right, two for D'Amico. All right, Marcus James, he says, all of these guys are killing it, the guys that win the pictures. It's only been half a season, but D'Amico Ryans definitely deserves the nod as well. That's three for D'Amico. He said, but Sean McVay is the only one with a Super Bowl ring. Yeah, he got that thing on him, the Super Bowl ring. It's arguably the most important metric. Honorable mention goes to Nick Sirianni for a Super Bowl appearance in his second year as head coach. Great breakdown, Marcus. We appreciate that. That's real critical thinking going on here. And we got our brother and friend to the show, JR. Hey, B-Live, guess who he picked?
Of course. I mean, predictable that he would pick the Philly coach. But, I mean, in this situation, though, He ain't wrong. Nick Sirianni has been doing his thing, and they're contending already this year. Oh, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm gonna be on the flight trying to figure out how to watch that Eagles Cowboys game. But yeah, he says Nick Sirianni in Philly, and he is only in year three. Then he also mentions D'Amico Ryans in Houston has some guys believing. He also mentioned Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins, so he just, like, threw everybody in there. So, all right. Cool.
Makes sense.
I mean, when Scotty D asked the question, he said, who is the best young head coach, as in singular? So, coach, not coaches. All right. So, as of right now, three people are in the penalty box because Uncle Max is the only one that follow the rules. But go ahead, my bad. I
You digress. All right. So Anthony Wilson, he'll say Sean McVay, all of them are good coaches, but he's won a Super Bowl ring as well. If Goff played how he's playing now then with the Rams, he would have two rings. They just don't have the talent this year like the other three coaches have. Granted, you have to make it work with what you have. His scheme is great too.
Sean McVay with the hardwares.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that. I know, and see, the thing about this is what's happened is that people are already writing Sean McVay off because the Rams have, like, they have degressed the past couple of years. But, shoot, Sean McVay is the reason that all these other young head coaches have jobs, by the way. I'm just throw that out there.
You have a big old whole youth movement in the NFL. Like some of these guys, I think Nick Sirianni is like 40. I think McDaniels just turned 40. I think McVay is like, what, 37 or 38?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are young, man. Hey, man, this is bringing a whole new life to the game. Trey Dizzle, all right, he says, Kyle Shanahan, and any other questions to this are as bad as Dak Prescott's ability to play quarterback.
He answered that question before Dak Prescott had the game he just had. So Dak Prescott was like, hold on, wait a minute. And that's against Sean McVay and the Rams.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, I would love for them to let us know who they actually are. Because they're so confusing to watch them. I don't even know.
I thought the Ravens were tough to watch, but now we're starting to see who the Ravens are, and Cowboys is like, okay, so what are we going to get next week? We got this last week. We're going to get, you know, this upcoming week. Be live. Who'd you pick, man? Who'd you got?
Well, here's me. Because people were unable to think outside the box. Everybody had very compelling arguments for each of the four head coaches that were pictured. I believe the pictures had Nick Sirianni, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Mike McDaniel. I believe D'Amico Ryans. So somebody thought outside the box. I can't remember which one was not pictured. You know what? It's okay.
D'Amico wasn't pictured, and I think that's it. D'Amico wasn't pictured.
Okay, D'Amico was the one. All right, we're gonna have to talk to I'm gonna do it on the air. I don't care. Scotty D's the one. No, you can.
I put the graphic together. I did that.
You ain't gonna put D'Amico. Gotta give the brother some love. I mean, Mike McDaniels might be a brother, but he don't look like a brother.
He's like he's
one eighth.
Yeah, one eighth brother. Yeah, he. we got to check his hair pattern. See if he got that C5 nappy do. I put anyway. But yeah, that's my bad for not putting D'Amico in there. Nothing personal, I promise, you know.
Yeah, I promise, messing with you. But no, D'Amico Ryan's doing it. No, my answer is outside of the box because I think he's really close. He had a rocky start to his career first 2 years, but then they picked up this 10-year quarterback out of LSU. And them boys are doing some things, and I think they're righting the ship as we speak. But Zach Taylor for Cincinnati, I'm of course, if you want my truthful answer, it would be Mike McDaniel out of Miami. But me thinking outside the box and wanting to throw somebody that nobody's talking about, Zach Taylor, what he's done, he's a couple plays away from having a hard one.
Yep. That's true.
And so, I mean, very close. Cincinnati was balling. I think at the end of the day, I think Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor will bring a Super Bowl ring to the Bengals. And I wouldn't even be surprised if it was this year, if it wasn't this year. Because I feel like Cincinnati has that potential to get hot at the right time. And anything can happen this year. We've seen every single team in the NFL have some type of setback, some type of, like, there's no team that's undefeated. That was after week five. So that just shows you nobody's really, like, world beaters right now. I would, it would not surprise me at all if Cincinnati didn't win a Super Bowl ring this year. Not my pick, but I think they're going to be in the conversation. So Zach Taylor out of Cincinnati. Eddie Cool, what say you?
I'm going to say Mike McDaniels because he makes watching football exciting. I don't want to hear nobody go, Eddie, you should have went with the brother, D'Amico Ryans. Hey, there's a lot of things that we should do in life, but we shouldn't. You know what I like doing? I be live when somebody tell me what I shouldn't do. Let's take a look at the book of shouldn't. You shouldn't fix your mouth to say what you got to say. You shouldn't be cheating on your wife. You shouldn't be opening your mouth when it's not unwarranted to you. We coming from the books of shouldn'ts. I've been wanting to get out for a while. That's a good joke.
Wow.
Now, player, put something in the cup. Anyways, I say Mike McDaniel because the style of football, it's a lot of moving parts, different schemes. He looks like a evil genius mastermind. You think he would be some dude that just wakes up in the morning, checks his stocks, and goes to Starbucks and walk around in a pair of jogging pants all day. Like, this man is a full-fledged, legitimate head coach, because when Brian Flores didn't get the job, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Then, you know, last year, he did what he did. This year, now they put up a season-high 70 points. So, obviously, the man knows exactly what he's doing. From the defensive side of the ball, I can't say much, but he's an offensive guru. I will say that he's a freaking offensive guru. And
the Broncos let Miami score 70, but stopped Kansas City from 10. What world are we living in?
Just like you said, man, it's that kind of season. You don't know what the hell you're going to get. Yeah.
Who are y'all? I don't know. You know, but yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just thought about that when you dropped that. That's the same team that allowed.
I knew it. The same damn team. Like, how in the hell did we get to this point as to where we are? What? Yep. So B-Live gave his answer. I gave my answer. And B-Live, what is on tap for next week? The question of the choices of the voices.
Oh, well. This is going to be very interesting indeed. When it comes to NFL players, you will hear this simple phrase said quite a few times. He's always hurt. What is the first NFL player that comes to mind when you hear the phrase, he's always hurt? Give us one past or present or both. And that's what we'll talk about next week. Yes, sir.
NFL, International Football League, football, not Major League Baseball. Not no hockey, not no badminton, cricket, kickball, pickleball, or cornhole, football. All right, football.
One past, one present, or both. So it should be a maximum of two. And this question comes from the money man, Scotty D. We'll make sure to give credit to where credit is due. Yep. He's the man that puts in the research. I just be coming here just talking off the top of my head. And I like it too.
Mouth running 101. That's what we do here at Sports Post Podcast. All right, with that being said, thank you to everybody who participated in this week's Choices of the Voices. There's the question. And guess what? If you listen to us on Spotify, right, go to the question section and you can find the question there on Choices. And guess what? You can also find this question on Twitter and Instagram and all of our social media platforms, because we won't. The interaction. We want the business. We want the smoke. He's Mick Smokestein. So that's how we do it right here at the Sports Wolves Podcast. Coming up next, it's a round of pepper. Be live. Bust out the grinder. We're coming right back here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But before we go, we got a round of pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. The four E's in no particular order. You see what I did there? The four E's. And I'm not throwing up gang signs. I'm making the letter E. So don't y'all get no ideas. That'd be over here. Getting off right just thinking about that mess. All right, on this day in history, back in 1959, at the time, future Pro Football Hall of Famer, running back Jim Brown runs for 5 touchdowns for the Cleveland Browns as they win 38-31 over the Baltimore Colts at Memorial Stadium. He is a Hall of Famer, and he is sorely missed. RIP to Jim Brown, as on this day in history, he saw the end zone 5 times, saw pay dirt 5 times, or got 5 tutties, as the kids say nowadays. Mm-hmm. Over to you, B-Live.
All right, for my first pepper point, we are recording on Tuesday, October 31st, which is also celebrated around the United States as Halloween. I don't like this holiday at all, but a certain ESPN personality may have won Halloween and the internet as a whole. Robert Griffin III happened to appear on ESPN during the Wake Forest game. I believe they were playing. It don't even matter. Well, he showed up dressed up as Harry Potter and pulled it off in fantastic fashion, to the point where he has been now dubbed Robert Gryffindor III. Gryffindor House, Harry Potter, Robert Griffin. I love it, and I'm here for it. The nerd in me is just... All right, Eddie Cool, the ball.
I will say that, man. That is pretty damn cool, man. And RG3 is doing a phenomenal job.
I really like him as an on-air personality. I wish his career didn't end the way it did, but he's making the most of it. He absolutely is.
Yeah, but I think a while back he said, if y'all need a quarterback, I'll let your boy.
I wonder if he still got it, you know?
I remember that first year, man, when they played against the Saints and he threw that ball, I said, this ain't your daddy's football teams no more. But B-Live, this next pepper point comes from the Get Over Yourself segment, all right, show? Okay, as we know, this past weekend in the National Football League, the Tennessee Titans paid homage to their roots, and they donned the famous, the most dopest uniform in the history of sports, the Houston Oilers uniforms with the powder baby blue jersey, white pants, red trim, red stripes, the oil rig and everything. So, about 2 months ago, the University of Houston said, you know what? Let's make a Houston Oilers-themed uniform. I mean, makes sense because they are a football team playing in Houston, and they pay an homage to the lineage. All right? But the NFL, the No Fun League, said, hey, hold on. What you doing? I'm going to put this on full screen so everybody can see. They say, what you doing? What are you doing? All right, so... according to UnionWatch.com, it says it may not be worn again, however, because the Houston Chronicle is reporting that the NFL has hit the university with a C&D, a cease and desist, all right, because the Cougars design infringes on the Oilers trademark look. The NFL's letter says the school wore the uniform in a manner that is likely to cause consumers to believe that the Houston Cougars are associated with or an unauthorized licensee of the NFL and the Titans. The potential for consumer confusion is at the heart of the trademark cases. All right, let me break it down to you. The Houston Oilers, that's an NFL team. U of H, the University of Houston Cougars, they are a college football team. All right? I'm looking and I do not see the oil rig on the side of the head. You know what? If that's the case, NFL, if you want to be like that, there are a lot of teams that are using a lot of logos in the all through high school, college, and everything. You hitting them with a C&D? I don't think so. NFL, get off your high horse, do better, in the words of Scotty D. B-Live, I know you got something to say about this before you go to the third, before you go to the next paper point. This is stupid.
Ridiculous. And the thing about it is the wording that they say behind it. They say consumer. They say consumer, right? In the
Consumer.
You know what that means?
The potential for consumer confusion.
You know what that means when they mean, because they could have said, they could have said fans, they could have said, consumer means that the NFL didn't want the University of Houston possibly making money off of. They want the University of Houston to pay the NFL for the rights to use the color scheme. Oh, you know what? You're a multi-billion-dollar business. I get it, but come on, bro. This is and see, the thing about it is that that's one thing I gotta study because of the work that I do at the studio. Copyright law.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
I've had multiple meetings, and I'll talk to you later on about this, but I'll say it on the air. I've had multiple meetings about what we can and can't use as far as a studio perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's copyright. It's a headache. It's trademark law, and I think because Scotty D's studying it, you studied it when I got to take a course or something because it's a mess. It's a lot. NFL, do better. My second pepper point, I'm going to pay homage to my man Pat McAfee, and I'm going to say it the way that he was saying. The WWE is building a new headquarters. You know, they make a little bit of money or whatever, whatnot. So they're building a new HQ, and they've got a restaurant. They have a cafeteria at the new headquarters. And it will be known as Snackdown.
Oh, I saw that.
Snackdown. I want a snack at Snackdown. I am here for it, man. WWE, that's pretty cool. You know, SmackDown, Snackdown. I'm a fat kid. I like snacks. Eddie Cool, the ball.
We eats good over here. All right, so B-Live, have you ever heard of someone marking out, losing their mind over meeting an NFL coach? Have you ever heard of that before?
Meeting a coach?
Yeah, an NFL coach. Yes. Have you ever heard of that before?
I've not. I know we're over a coach now. A player, yeah, but a coach, you got to be,
Okay, so here we go, B-Live. Let's get into it. Rapper Glorilla. This is according to BET.com. Rapper Glorilla was born and raised in Memphis, but she is a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, particularly of the longtime coach Mike Tomlin. So recently, she got a chance to meet the Super Bowl winning coach and take some pictures. And the video was so wholesome, so damn wholesome. Like, oh my God, I finally got to meet you. And then Mike Tomlin said, he says, yes, I know who you are. And she said, I know who you are. So it's been like Glorilla has been spotted on Twitter/X wearing a Troy Polamalu jersey and also holding up a signed number 23 jersey and caption, that's major. So think about it. She got to meet Mike Tomlin. She got to meet. She don't care about none of the players. She got a chance to meet Mike Tomlin. She was fangirling. She was so humble about the experience. And so, shout out to Glorilla, man. You know, your celebrity will get you into places anything else can. Over to you, B-Live.
And I'm sorry I groaned when you... I was just like, oh. I don't know any of this new music. And I heard Glorilla, and I just like, oh.
F-R-E-E-C-I-E. But, yeah, so that's her.
Okay. But, no, that's pretty cool. That it's like I said, she better know who Mike Tomlin is. For Mike Tomlin to know who she is, that's pretty cool too. I mean, he's staying hip with the times.
Yeah, staying hip with the times. Yep.
All right. So we're at number three. I feel like this episode is flying by.
Real and quickly, man.
Scotty D, we don't miss you. All right, cool. and he always says it's my fault that our shows run long. Well, we are at We're barely not even at an hour, Scotty D. I wonder why.
Oh boy, here we go.
My third and final pepper point. You know how I like to do things.
If it's anything like last week, let me brace myself because last week was hilarious.
Well, this one is on a different take. This is not necessarily hilarious. It's like, bruh, leave me alone. Because we have a reunion in the NBA once again. Because there's been a trade between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Philadelphia 76ers. And
at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And guess who are teammates once again? Russell Westbrook and James Harden are teammates yet again. Russell Westbrook be trying to get away from this dude. He keep coming. I think this is their third team now. They were the OKC, Houston, and now the Clippers.
Paul George didn't go to the Rockets.
I didn't say Paul George. I said...
I'm sorry. My bad. Never mind. Go right ahead. I had a brain fart.
Russell Westbrook and
James Harden. I don't...
This is the third time they're going to be teammates. And they will be with the likes of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Like, I think all four of them are on the other side of their career.
Yep.
Like, you got the Los Angeles LAARPers, and now you got the Los Angeles Cripples.
Yeah, the Cripples and the Last Chances.
Because if Kawhi Leonard can stay healthy the entire year and playoff
P,
this is a disaster waiting to happen. They're not like. In what world do you think that these like three of them are guards? Let's start there. They can't be on the court at the same time. Like, you can't have all four of them on the court at the same time.
Somebody got to run with the second unit. Somebody has to come off the bench. Somebody got to play a diminished role. Somebody got to do something. Six man,
which James Harden did a great job at before. So maybe, but he's not. I don't see him going back to the bench. But I don't. This is definitely going to be a wait and see, and what happened when it does happen. Because all of a sudden now, James Harden is healthy because he wasn't healthy before. But he said, "Oh, I'm ready to play now." No, of course you are.
I don't blame Daryl Morey. I'm not gonna sit and let you call me a liar in another country, and you play for me. Oh, we got issues. We got problems. F all that.
2 o'clock in the morning, he said, "You know what? I'm going to get rid of him so I can just go to sleep. I'm so sick. You got to go.
You want him? Huh? Take him. What do you want for him? Just give me $1.45. Huh? Let's get him out. I'll eat this. Just get him the hell up out of here. I don't want to see his face. Look at his beard. See his beard commercials. Look at his belly. His damn, I've been walking on the concrete feet. I ain't got no time for all that. I don't want to see none of this. I'm just James Harden. Just get him out of my life and out of my face. Delete. Matt Hardy style. Anybody got time for that?
I'm here for it because something like, in the city of L.A., you've got the two oldest forwards in the game, and you got, like, four of the oldest guards in the game. All we need now is Chris Paul to come back from. But, hey, Chris Paul doing his day. Speak of, he's actually in Golden State. So, literally, all of the old people are in L.A. right now. L.A. are in California. California is the new Florida. where basketball players go to retire. God, they got all the old heads in California right now. What is going on? Cut it out.
All the gray beards.
Right. Gray beards and no hairlines. Like,
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And as always, thank you for watching and listening to Sports Bros Podcast. You can always keep up with us because if you look in our Linktree link in the description box, you click the link, we're all over the place. We're going shorts, videos, full-length shows from Facebook, the TikTok, and all points in between. We got this thing covered like Waffle House hash browns. B-Live, have you got anything to say before we get up out of here?
One last thing, give a shout out to the Texas Rangers, which broke the playoff record for most road games won in an entire playoff. They are a whopping 9-0 on the road in the playoffs. Wow. And they're now up 2-1 in the World Series over. Did I say the World Series? I meant the Wild Card World Series.
Oh, there we go.
I said what I said against the Arizona Diamondbacks, two of the lesser known playoff teams make it all the way to the World Series. Change the format. 1-7-7. Do you hear me when I say it? 1-7-7. One game wild card, 7-game division, 7-game. Championship series, of course.
And by weeks working football, not baseball.
Exactly.
Yep. And with that being said, you can check me out on YouTube on the Lorain County Sports Network. I've conducted a series of interviews with high school players from all over Lorain County. If you check it out right now, I've interviewed the sacks leader of Lorain County, Timmy Phillips. And that video is available now also on YouTube. You know, I feel like I'm getting my little hosting gig right now. So if anybody's listening or watching this podcast or watching my interview with Timmy Phillips, I will gladly host shows. I will gladly host party events. Now, you can't have me cater and host the event. You can't have me cater and MC. I'm pretty damn talented, but I can't do both. You got to pick one or the other. And I also have a series of videos, the postseason wrap-up with Edwin Vereen, that's right, the government name, available on the Lorain County Sports Network, edited, curated, and published by yours truly. You can catch B-Live, Fayetteville, North Carolina, the Shared Studios. If you're in Fayetteville, if you're in North Carolina, you need some stuff done, go over there. Give my folks some business over there at the Shared Studios. I've had to give B-Live some business because some of my videos were looking kind of crazy, and he makes magic of it. And also, you can check out Scotty D busting up a computer screen somewhere. But Scotty D, it's all good. We love you, man. It's a part of the process, man. Keep your head up. And anybody going through anything, man, keep your head up. Scotty D is on his educational journey, and it's all going to pay off. Before I get out of here, man, I just want to say this real quick. Never did I think in 4 years that this podcast would provide an opportunity, not only for myself, but also for you, B-Live, and for you, Scotty. And if this podcast doesn't go anywhere big, or if we don't make it big, make it rich, I have a sense of pride that, you know what, I provided my boys the one thing, a platform and an opportunity. And before I start crying, with that being said, do something good for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for something else, for someone else. They'll greatly appreciate it now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden. And guess what? Sometimes things happen in life for a reason. But keep going and keep pushing. Because the man up there got bigger and better for you. It's been another episode of the Sports Bowls Podcast. All right, B-Live, take us home. I'm done preaching.
Yes, sir.
And the next time somebody tell you that you shouldn't do something, pull out the book of shouldn'ts on them. You shouldn't open your mouth. You shouldn't be talking trash. You shouldn't wear that shirt that look like balled up homework. Hey, I'm gone. Bye. Y'all take care. Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.